Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the living God. Tonight's the night that we just thank God for everything that God has done for us and how God has raised us up where we are right now. I just want to say thank Him for everything He's done for me. Today is the day that I just give glory to God. I praise Him. I love Him. I adore Him. I magnify Him and I thank Him for everything He has done for me. This night is a night that we say, yada, 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 yada. In your name, Jesus, amen. 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 Yo, hello, Apostle. How you doing? Hello? Hello?
That's Pastor William.
Hey, how you doing?
All righty, how you doing?
Where you been, man? We've been missing you. Where you been?
I've been out of town, and also I've been working a lot, so I haven't had a chance to get in on the radio.
I can understand. I figured there was something going on, but... We have no complaints. We thank God for you finally coming back. And I was trying to reach you, I said, last week, because we've had a lot of people on the radio station, but wow. Had a judge on. Loved the Lord. Talked about the Lord. Praised the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I've been busy, man. I'll tell you what, I've been in doing a spiritual warfare. You know, I've been under attack, and it finally broke.
All of us have been under attack, my brother. We all have been under attack.
Oh, yeah, I understand that. I know that. I see that in a lot of different people that they're under attack. And it's getting stronger and stronger.
Well, that's why we're trying to tell people, let's come together and do a great worldwide prayer on Wednesday morning. We want to pray for the nation, one person. Because the only way we're going to stop the enemy right now is those of us have come together.
Amen.
Amen. And I know that our God is an awesome God. He has not failed us, but it's us doing. See, what God knows we can do, He's not going to do it in Jesus' name. See, what He's already given up. Now, that we couldn't do, He did it for us through Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know,
amen.
Jesus left it, but He sat there and He sent the Holy Spirit, you know, and we're supposed to carry on the work and do the work. And it's not supposed to be that we're, you know, just sitting on our butts, right. You know, just expecting the Holy Spirit to do everything. We're supposed to do it. We're supposed to walk in faith and believe and trust. And knowing that when we're walking in faith and believing and trusting in the Lord, that everything will make a way. But, you know, as long as we're sitting on our laurels and not doing anything, we're expecting someone else to do it, nothing's going to happen.
Amen. Amen. You know what? You just said that you just threw a big rock at the devil. He said, ouch. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But you know one thing I would say to you, Pastor? The love of God is still rich. The love of God is kind. The love of God is so much that God wants to do for us through Jesus Christ in this hour. And I've been doing a study in the book of Hebrews. I'm going to bring it on and before the end of the year, what God has shown me. God hasn't told me to release it yet, but I will say this much. There's much to be done. Much to be done.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody's looking at the end times, and we're seeing it coming, you know, and everybody's just laying down. They seem to be just and giving up.
Yeah. But we know that the God we serve is an awesome God.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. I know the Lord sent you with a word tonight. You got a word?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, I've been doing a lot of preaching. I've I was sitting there earlier, just a little bit ago, praying to the Lord. I don't know exactly what I want to say, but I just know
Let's go ahead and talk. Let's go ahead and talk.
Yeah, I just know that you know, as things are beginning to continue to get worse, you know, in the world, that you know, we need to really concentrate on the Lord, you know, concentrate on His Word. I just read just a little bit ago where the Arab nations now want to take over in Israel and take that Western Wall and claim that as part of the Muslim temple on the Temple Mount. And so that way they eradicate the Jews from having anything to do with the Temple Mount.
But you know what?
Yeah.
They are trying to, but the Bible says God's able to start earth and heaven before He let them harm Israel. So we good.
Oh, I know that. I understand that completely. It's just, but there's so many people that are being pulled in and sucked in by all these lies and all the deceptions. And, even I think it's in Jeremiah where God says at some point, says, don't even try to pray to these people because I'm not going to hear the prayer.
Yeah. Hold on. Hold on. Hello?
Yeah.
Is this you too?
This is Pastor Will.
Okay, hold on. Hello, are you there? Are you on the phone now with us? Hello?
I'm here. Yes, I'm here, praise the Lord.
Well, let's have a discussion. Let's have a good discussion on the phone, on the radio.
All right,
Pastor?
Yes.
Meet a lady that I thank God for. Her name is A. Royal. Tell us your name, my sister.
It's Reverend Arroyo Ruth Princess Love, last name Princess Tyson Love. How you doing, Pastor? How you doing?
I'm blessed and highly flavored.
Hallelujah. We both are. We all are. We are greatly favored. Amen.
I'm solely there. I'm very much heavily flavored.
I love that.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
He and I were discussing what's going on with Israel, how the Arabs are coming in and trying to go in there to the mount and block it, but I say not going to happen. They're just fighting a war. What do you think about it, Arroyo?
I think that everything God has already preordained is going to happen. I don't think that we have to worry about anything happening to Israel. I mean, it's just like we don't have to worry about our end because we win. And so, therefore, it's the same way. Everything is Israel is predestined to. All of God's prophecies point to what will happen. And so, but the final line is they still got to come to Christ, regardless, no matter who you are or what you are, and that's for from the least of human beings out there under our sound to the greatest of human beings. Nobody can leave this earth without Christ and expect to be with Christ. You got to have him. Got to have him. Got to believe that God sent, that God was manifested in the flesh, preached unto the Gentiles, received up unto the angels, and justified in the spirit. They got to believe that. And so, but Israel shall be saved. They're blinded for now, but they will come in. They will come in.
They will come in. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, it's in Hebrews where they talk about says that if it warns the Christians and the Gentiles basically says, if God will break off the branch of his own. It would grafted us in. Mm-hmm. How much more he would do to us if we deny him.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And we got to stand firm in that, you know, because at one point the church is going to be taken out, and the Jews will be here, and we just need to continue to pray for them, you know. That's when their eyes are going to open.
Amen. You're right. 100% right. Amen.
And then also in the church, you know, there's so many people that are sitting in the pews, and you know, they're there. I say, well, I'm putting my time in. Praise God, hallelujah, and all the praise and worship, and they listen to the message, and they go home. You know, God, he doesn't change. You know, he's looking for an army. He is looking for those who worship him, you know, and he's looking for a true nation. And it's just like the Gideon's army, you know. There was 3,000, and out of the 3,000, he chose 300. You got to stop and think about this for a minute, because you're looking at this in a way almost because the 3,000, it was like they went to a pep rally, and they were rah-ha-ha, and we're going to defeat, and we're going to have, you know, we're going out to war, and we're going to, you know, make men's meat and all this other stuff, and yet the 300 that stood with Gideon, it was those who had a heart and knew and understood what it needed to take and what it was and what it meant for the salvation of a nation. And that was to be able to, they were the ones God chose, because he knew their hearts. He knew that they knew what it was going to take for the survival and for the salvation of a nation. And those are the ones he chose. And the people who are in the churches, and God bless them, you know, and everything else. But, you know, we got to be careful, because there are those out there, they're going to be mighty disappointed because they're at the prep rally and they've not got it into their hearts and knowing what it is that we're in for. Because God is looking for an army to come back with. And those who know and need to know and understand what it is and what it needs to take for the salvation of a nation, and that's the nation of Israel, and that's the New Jerusalem.
Well, one thing that I come to, and reading the Bible and see what it says, I think it's in Hebrews and in the New Testament says there's neither Jew nor Gentile. So that's going to be a new nation and a new language. So as I've said, maybe I'm wrong, help me somebody, that the language God's going to give us is not going to be of the Jewish nation or the nation we know. It's going to be a new language. That's what I think. If I'm wrong, help me, Lord Jesus. God's going to give us a new language. A new language to speak to God. And you know what I say? I just say is, Sister Royal has said many times, she's been on the radio station, I will take nothing for Jesus Christ. Nothing.
Nothing. I used to pray, you are so right, I wouldn't take nothing, not to a trillion. I think I said a trillion dollars. Not even a trillion dollars I would take for Jesus Christ. No, because that's a stupid bet. You know, that's a stupid exchange. Anything. There's nothing on earth Romans 8, that has entered into the mind of man that could compare with this joy that we got, or this here position. This, we are joint heirs. We are kings. We are priests. We are ambassadors. We're God. Because God is in us. We've been made righteous. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on. We have peace that passes all understanding. And not, yes, we cry. Yes, we stumble. Yes, we fall. Yes, we back and forth in the flesh occasionally. We will, and our flesh will give in to our flesh occasionally, you know. But we are holy. We are righteous. We are justified. We are loved. We are loved. Wow. I mean, $1 trillion couldn't even know. Boy, yeah. That was, but I hope and pray God don't put me to the test, because, you know, it's a lot of stuff that's easy to say and very hard to do when the time comes, you know. Like all them people that they lined up and asked them if they were Christians in the last year or two. I mean, through the centuries. Forget the year or two, through the centuries.
Yeah, I mean,
can you imagine that last minute? That last minute, and can you all imagine what the devil be telling you in that minute? Just say no. It won't matter. Just say no right now. You can always repent. Can't you imagine how that devil will be tempting you? And God, please let me be strong. Let me be strong, because this is the only physical life we know, but we know we have passed from death unto life, and that we shall be like him, and that this stinking flesh, this dirt, is going to vanish away, and that we're going to have, like Pastor Hunter just said, we got new bodies. Well, we won't have to worry about what we going to eat, won't have to worry about being hot or cold, won't have to worry about light. Oh, man, I mean, I could go on and on.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, one thing I would bring up as we're talking, we have to continue to pray for the United States of America.
Yes.
For the world. Pray for the world.
But I want to start at the foundation and move forward, because as I was saying many times, we live here in the state of Texas, right here near Houston area. We got over 6,000 people living in the same area, and if we watched something not too long ago on the radio, a couple of days ago, they were building these apartments over there in near downtown, the scaffold. Mm-hmm. They don't know how it broke, but it just broke.
Yeah.
The devil is constantly busy. I'm not giving him no oodles or nothing. He is the defeated foe. He is a liar. He's a thief. He done stole lives. But you know what? He's going to have to give it up. He's coming. He stole money from people. He got to give it up. Because the Bible says, some people know what God has told us. I am that I am, and besides me, there is no other God. Now take notice in the book of Ezekiel, I believe it is 13 or 12, 14 verse, where the person says, I am God. God said, you are? I'm going to make my throne as higher than his throne. You are? That's where that archangel got kicked out of heaven. When he landed on this earth realm, it's only later that God brought man in. So one thing I was listening to, Cleflo Dollars, he was teaching. He said, of all God said to the man Adam, he told him, he says, of all the trees, you can eat, but one don't even touch. And you know what he did? He heard what the devil said to the weaker one, and as a result, caused them both to get kicked out. But you know one thing I come to realize? If we do the first order of God, everything else is going to fall in line. Because we had a tree, but this, all of them. Now, I don't know how many was this, but that one. And you know, curiosity. As a Rose Lee would say, curiosity curiosity killed the cat. Sometimes we just get nosy. We just want to see what's going on. But one thing I would say, Reverend Love, the Bible says, eyes not have seen, nor it enters into the heart of those who love the name. Who love the name.
That's true.
You love, it has to enter into the heart. What God, as you said, it has not entered what God has in store for us. What's in store for us? I don't even know, but God say it is so awesome until I get to see him. I'll be able to say, I bow down before him and say, hallelujah. As they say, yada, 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 yada. Praise his holy name. Amen. And you know, Pastor Irvin was saying he's had a real fight and he's going through some changes. Go ahead, Brother Irvin.
Yeah, you know, right here, just around the corner from me, basically, about a mile from me, they just opened up a church. It's called the Church and Brew. You know, it's a bar church. And then over in Old Springs, they just opened up a Satan church.
What?
Yep, there's a church over. They just opened it up as a Satan church over in Old Springs.
They got worshipers go there?
Yeah, that's they're Wicca. They practice Wicca and everything else. They declare themselves as a religion, and you know, our government is so benign in everything else that they want to be this political correct that it's destroying our nation. It's destroying mankind. I mean, geez, you just look and you wonder, say, how can people be so blind? How can they be so naive? And you know, well, we don't want to offend anybody. And it's like, really? You know, this is crazy. You know, the 15 years ago, 20 years ago, even 30 years ago, none of that stuff would have ever came about. You know what I mean? The church is growing weaker, and we need to stand fast. And you know for yourself that I don't really get into a lot of the prosperity preaching because it's really hampered the ministries because we're not teaching spiritual warfare. We're not teaching on the level and where we need to be teaching the people in order to be able to fight these things that are coming against us. They become naive. They don't have no understanding of it. And the church I'm preaching at on Sunday night, I got a lot of people coming out because they're interested in hearing the truth, you know. I'm not bragging on myself. Don't forget to give me. But it's just we need to get back to the Word of God and not the prosperity preaching. I mean, because that day has ended. We need to get into the Word to be able to sit there and arm the saints with the truth and they can be able to sit there and be able to fight these things that are coming against them.
Well, Wrestler Paula teaches all of that. He's left prosperity, but we are prosperous, and it's not necessarily money, but the Holy Spirit teaches. If people who are studying their word, and like you say, the teaching that Creflo Dollar teaches and Joseph Prince teaches of by grace, when you learn the foundation of that by grace you are saved, and it's a lot of people know that but don't know how to operate and walk in it. They're still walking in old-time religion, so-called, and not learning how to apply it to their daily lives and how to defeat Satan and how to have the victory. And that's one thing I can truly say. I've been saved for many years and been ordained for 45 years. But I can truly tell you that listening to not his prosperity teaching, but listening to who I am and learning how to apply the word of God to me,
to walk in victory. Because I've been, that devil had me sick for 40 years. I was sick for 40 of those 45 years. And now I'm walking in divine, in health and victory and all of the things. But and know how to resist. Because it's just putting on the full armor and walking in the spirit. You know, that's where the catch is. But it is some devious spirits out here now. Yes, sir. But you know the Bible. Me and Pastor Hunter hang on for St. John chapter 17, 16, 14, 15, 16, and 17. But you know, I believe strongly that all the devils in hell can't pluck us out of the hand of God. And I believe 1 Corinthians strongly that that he will not allow us to be tempted above measure. And I've been there. I've been a battered wife. I've been abused. You can't name a situation that I haven't hardly been. I've been left door 3 times. I've had cancer, 23 operations, 6 strokes. I mean, you can't name. And learning all through that, the Holy Ghost taught me. And so if people, this is why I teach on the radio, that if people will totally surrender to listening and getting the word in their soul, in their spirit, being a part of them, they can learn to walk victoriously. God did
right.
Every part of the trials that we've gone through was beneficial, not at the time for us, because it ain't about us. That's the catch. That's the big catch. Like you say, the prosperity teaching was most people got the wrong impression of it. We're prosperous. I'm rich if I ain't even got a dime. I'm walking in victory when I got tears in my eyes. I got joy unspeakable when everybody is telling all manner of lies on me. You know, I just have to recognize whose I am and whose we are. And you're right, but not enough Christians are being taught or not. That's because they haven't seen, you know, Jesus said it, and it seems so obvious. I am the door. No man can enter no other way but by me. I give the parable of, okay, you get up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you wash your face, you take your shower, then you put your clean clothes on. And you, because you don't even, we ain't even thinking about attempting to go through the door until we've done all of that. At least I'm not, you know. Okay. So this is the same way in Christ. I can't even think about prosperity or wealth or anything unless I have Christ. Then I learn. And Christ is going to make me rich or prosperous and healthy so that I can glorify him, not me. Not if it's just for me to build a mansion for me to live in, then it that is not glorifying God. I mean, yeah, somebody say, yeah, I know when she lived in an apartment. Now she lives in a mansion. But it ain't about us.
That's the major thing
that the body of Christ needs to learn, and this is temporal, that like I told last night, God laughs. He laughs. He laughs at us worrying about paying a bill, worrying about buying a new car, worrying about wearing the best of clothes. All that is so minute to the Lord God. That's why Jesus, you know, he read their thoughts. He heard their thoughts. He knew what all men was thinking. And by him being God, that's why he got up earlier every day and prayed hard. Father, they in their flesh, how can I make them understand that this is the, he told us our life is just a vapor,
yes.
But we get caught all up in it. Oh, I want a mansion. I want a Rolls Royce. And I do want a Rolls Royce. I want this. All of this is going to vanish with fervent Revelation say fervent heat, y'all. Everything, everything your eyes can see right now. And nothing shall last but the word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God shall last forever. Forever. And that is if God could show me how to relate that to people where it will set their souls on fire and make them hungry and thirsty for Him. For Him. It ain't about things or having a 20 million membership church. All that, all those things, even, you know, we have transferred some of the worldliness into how big is my church or how many million dollars my church costs. You know, and it's so much worldliness that come in and crept in to we are longing and hungering for world when we and putting it in godly terms. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying the same thing you're saying. I'm just saying it more. And yet it's so deceptive. This spiritual warfare. It's so much wickedness in the church in the name of God.
Well, you know, sister, if you go, I was in a couple of churches, and I was at a church a few weeks ago, ministering, and I said, you know, in Matthew, it says, knock and the door will be open. It says, seek and you'll find, ask and you will receive. A lot of people taking those words and turned it into, okay, I asked them, I said, and just in those three verses, where does it say dollars and cents? Cadillacs and mansions and everything.
It doesn't.
I said, you're right. I said, because if you read the next verse below that, it says, you're given of the Holy Spirit. And that's where we lost. That's where the North churches have lost it all. Because they went into preaching prosperity as money, Cadillacs, good clothes, diamond rings, and so on and so forth. And that's what I said. We need to get back into what the word says. And that is for the spiritual warfare that we're enduring, because the church is falling away. Because I've talked to so many people who left the church. They're mad at the church. They're mad because they're not going to return, because they're mad because of the prosperity preaching and all the other stuff. And they walked away. You know, all those ministers are going to be held accountable for all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. And prostitution of pimping the church. Sowing seed. They done gone crazy with this sowing the seed stuff. They make sowing the seed out of it. They got to give account of that. They got to give account.
Well, you know, I already know one minister. He had a lot of money, and he didn't make it in the church. He made it in the world. I mean, he made his money. But he started, when he started a church, he started that same pimping, you know, that same perverting the word to in order to get money for the ministry, you know, and telling. He says, well, you know what? He says, here's a guarantee. It says, we'll give you a 90-day guarantee. If God doesn't prosper you in 90 days, your tithes and your offerings, says then we'll write you a check for every dime that you gave. It says nobody has ever come back and asked for their money back. And you know what? He lost $500,000.
Wow.
My.
because of the fact that God didn't sit there And you know, where he's taken that same set of mind that he used the people to prosper the church. You know, and everything else, and he can't understand how come he lost his money, because he sits there and says, you know, I can't remember the pastor's name, but he sits there and he says God is only obligated to give to you what he says he'll give to you.
So in other words, if you had $1 million, you want to give $1 million and expecting $100 million, he don't have to give you that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 10%. He only wants 10%, and whatever you do over and above that, that's your grace and whatever else, and he recognizes that. He will bless him for that. But if this is where they say, well, you know, if you sow that into this, do you want a $10 healing? Do you want a $100 healing?
Yeah,
or do you want a $1,000 healing? You know?
It's a sin before God. And then one lady was telling me that they even have the nerve to send these letters out. If you don't send the 30 or 40 or 50 or whatever dollars they tell you, they run guilt on you and tell you you ain't going to be blessed. I mean, it's abominable what these people have the nerve to do.
That's
it's
right.
In the name of God.
That's right. You know, I've been silent off the radio for the last 3 weeks because, like I said, I've been going through some stuff. I've been going through some spiritual changes in my own life, and I've been preaching, I've been ministering, and I've been hammered so hard that even it was like almost a piece of me died here a week or so ago, and it might have been something that just needed to leave, you know. And I've been just kind of just silent. I've just been trying to gather my and get with the Lord and everything else, but that heaviness,
me too. I've been heavy too. I've been crying on the inside. I've been just literally in a mood of just crying, not tears from my eyes, but my soul has been crying, and I ask God, what is going on? And we're not the only ones. I've got several friends in the spiritual realm who this heaviness has just been inside in our spirit. It's our spirits have just been mourning. It's like,
yes.
I've been a warrior. I've been doing a lot of warfare, and you know, at some point you just kind of want to just take a break. At the same time.
Yes, you do.
Something in my spirit just died, and it was like, it's almost like I lost the best friend, but at the same token, it was something that was there that needed to be let go.
I agree. The same thing happened to me. I've been going through, either I've been picking up somebody. I was picking yours up because I sure been going through that same thing. And I could not understand it, but I just kept on praising God because I'm going to praise God anyway. I've been so sick with pain wrecking my body before, and I just kept saying, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I'm going to give God praise in every situation. In all things, I'm going to give God thanks. And I'm going to stop and rebuke and bind and loosen, but I'm going to also give God the glory because I know.
Hallelujah. Well, you know, one of the things I say, beloved, I would say to us that are on the radio together, what God has assembled is a great team. And the more we trust and believe in God, the more God wants us to do what we're supposed to do. As I've been calling a lot of people I've been praying for, and I've said to them many times, I said, well, the one thing I found out, there are some people that know that they know that they know that they know that God is able. And so what we have to do, more of us, we have to pray for them. And as we've all said, there is a real burning from the inside to the outside. The Holy Spirit is saying to us, get busy. The time is now. And the more we get more aware, and the more Jesus is saying to us, and I know we've lost a lot of friends, but I still love them. Because I see people, We live in the New Testament. The more we obey the New Testament, we are Gentiles converted into the fullness of the glory of God through Jesus Christ. It behooves us to stand firm on what God has said. And I say this that I said with love. You know, and I've said this many times. There is no love like God's love. I'm here to tell you.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm gonna tell you what I've had, what I've seen God do, because of what I've had with this sickness. It came up on me, and I always say, when I had the incident, it hit me so hard. It's like a big heavyweight boxing on a Saturday. All of a sudden, kaboom! Out of nowhere, it hit me so hard. And when the doctors told me, hallelujah to you, Father, glory to your name through Jesus Christ, they said, Mr. Hunter, they said, we have what we call in this arena, they call it a 10. You were 9.45. A 10. They had to shock me 3 times to bring me back to life. So I give God all the glory. You think I'm gonna let somebody gonna say we want to do it? No, they what the Holy Spirit told me. See, when I met this beloved brother, one day we was out here on 1960 and 59. Am I right, Pastor William?
Amen.
And I was sitting there. He came in. We had eye to eye contact. He's a white man. I'm a black man. Eye to eye contact. In the middle of a place where there are a multitude of people, he said, may I pray for you? Lord said, trust him. I have need of him. I said, okay, Lord. We prayed. And some people asked me, why didn't you pray for him? I said, no, he wasn't praying. I wasn't praying for him. He was obeying God.
Right.
I said, because he said, he asked me, can I pray for you? If you say, in the name of Jesus, I'm not turning no prayer down. Because I don't know who God's sending to me.
Me either. I need everybody who can reach my Lord.
Amen. And so, as that one old preacher said, he said, if I ever get where I can't talk to, he said, don't send me Peter, don't send me Paul. He said, if you can't send me Jesus, forget about it. Hallelujah. And to me, that's what makes sense to me. And I know this much that we know. The more we come into the knowledge of God, the more we come to a royal diadem. And we see what God is doing for us in these days. And right now, I surrender to him. I'm telling you what this, I've had to have a boot on. I've had to have it redone. And some people said, well, it had 4 or 5 strokes. I said, I don't receive that. Because the body tell me by the stripes that Jesus bore on his back, I, Willie Hunter, am healed. Oh, man, come on. No, I'm healed, man. I'm healed.
Yeah, we healed.
I'm healed.
No matter how we look or how we feel, we are healed.
Hallelujah. And one asked me, said, why are you still walking around? I said, my body hasn't come in agreement. When my body comes in agreement, when God is going to do it, well, why don't you ask God to do it?
Amen.
No, I'm not going to let God have his own way. Because God is using me as an example to draw
yes, he is. Yes, he is. I'm telling you, I've had 5-6 strokes, and I'm telling you, you should have seen me. But and my face was twisted for many years.
I've been knowing y'all almost, what about, how many have been there? 24 years, 25, 20 some odd years?
Since the 80s, since the early 80s, when we was at Lakewood.
And here we are right now, still praising God. Still praise God. Amen. And you know, the day while I was at Tia, there was a young lady. God told me to give her some information. I gave it to her. And I began to tell her, and I was praying. I said, Lord, who? And I said, oh, you believe in Holy Ghost? She said, yeah, I'm holy. I said, you are holy. And so as I began to proceed to tell her what God was saying, I began to notice something. The more I talked to her, she's a nice-looking young lady. Hallelujah, with everything God has blessed her with. But she had another young lady to come in there. And so I took my hand in Jesus' name. I extended out across her. That woman had more strength in her hand than I've known a lot of women. You know what she said? Don't do that. I said, why? You're messing with my stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was her stuff? What did she mean? What I missed that. I didn't understand that.
Okay. I believe another woman come in there, brought us some food. It went at tea. You have to go out there 2455 Braeswood. And so I put my hand out there where the young lady was to reach for it. And she put her hand and pushed my, I said, my God. She said, no, you're messing with my stuff. And I just looked at her. I said, oh, thank God. Her and that young girl got up together and left to the room. I knew something was weird about going on.
She's probably a witch.
Wow. Yeah. Or gay. They were gay.
Yeah.
But I thought the woman said she believed in the Holy Spirit. I thought the fool.
The devil can say that. The devil can say it.
That's
but he ain't received it. Until you receive the Holy Spirit and call Jesus by the Holy Spirit, you cannot call him Jesus Christ as Lord of Lords. It's impossible. That scripture there. As the old preacher said, that's word.
Amen. That's word.
That's word.
That are what they call humanists and spiritualists and so on and so forth. They abandon the word of God because they're going by feelings and they're going by all these other things. All that's not, none of that is of God. That's all
none of
us.
See, like you said, teaching about spiritual warfare, because it's so many familiar spirits out here now. And the word even say, if it were
possible,
they could deceive the very elect. But it's not possible. It's not possible. You know why it's not possible, you guys? Because of Hebrews. Hebrews say the Holy Spirit is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of a man's heart, dividing to the sunder of the marrow, even the marrow of the bone. Thus, that same when Jesus Christ left and went back up and was first, and he was seen of 5,000, over 5,000. He was seen of the 12 and then of over 5,000 before he ascended to the Father. Well, that same spirit that Jesus had when he walked this earth and he could discern over and over in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it says, because he knew their thoughts.
He knew their thoughts.
I'm telling you, if they seek the Lord, the Holy Spirit that's in us, he does the same thing today. He's the same God. The Holy Spirit is God. That's the only reason I said we are God. We are God for two reasons. Because we are eternal beings. We're never going to die. We're going to live forever. I ain't saying I am the God. I am God. I am a God because I am an eternal being. We are all humans. Or eternal being. And that's for you sinners out there. You are eternal being. Don't let them tell you when you're dead, you're done. You ain't done when you're dead. You're already dead. You're already dead in your sins and trespasses. But when you give up that breath, give up the ghost, And if you don't know Jesus, when you close them eyes for that last time, you are not done. It is just beginning. I promise you. So this is to the world out there that's listening. Because we have people can hear us in China, Japan, all over the world. All over the world. And so we want to reach you to know that you ain't done when you dead. If you didn't meet Jesus on this side, and Pastor, what's your name again?
Irwin. William Irwin.
Irwin. I'm telling you, Pastor Irwin, it bleeds, breaks my heart that God is so loving. And with tears, he gave me a vision and a revelation that he's crying because he's begging people to receive him on this side of this while they got the breath. God can't, even as good as God is, it's just impossible for him to say, you can come into my kingdom after you've rejected his son. It just can't be done. And with all the tears, with all the love he got for us, he just can't do it. I mean, and God is loving. That is one powerful thing. But if you reject his son, he just can't forgive you. All the goodness of God. And Oprah Winfrey got this saying when she heard that God said that you know, she pray for her because she need God. She got billions of dollars, but she need God. She need the truth. She need the truth. She truly deceived. All this here new age, everybody's got God, everybody's spiritual, everybody. No, you ain't got. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is life. There ain't no other. I stake my life on that. There ain't no other way.
Likewise. Amen. Amen. Well, you know one thing that I'm just so excited about, and some things I'm just believing God is we're making it mention because we're trying to rip up the world to see what we know because we done been there. As one young man said, I've been there. I used to have the whiskey, the corn cobs. I used to have the beer out of potatoes. I said, what? He said, yeah, we know how to make beer out of potatoes. I said, oh, boy. We know how to make wine out of grapes. I said, oh, boy. He said, everything God has put in our presence, it is to be obtained, but there's a measure of accuracy and knowledge of knowing what's eating. I said, that makes sense to me. Every green tree ain't for you to eat. Amen.
Amen.
And I say this with love and kindness. What the Bible tells me, and I believe it in my heart, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. His only begotten son, that whosoever would repent, you see, when he gave his only son, it takes me back into the book of Psalms, where God said, this day have I declared and decreed, you are my son, and I set you on the holy mountain. And it all says this to me in the Bible. Hallelujah, I love you, Lord. And this is why I say, Lord, lead me and guide me. Lead me and guide me. I can't look to the left or to the right. There are some things that I see happening in our lives. Now, I help somebody, and I'm saying I, when I say I, God in me, Jesus in me, the Holy Ghost in me, inspired me to help somebody. And somebody that I helped this one and said, I didn't show true love to them. I said, what? True love? I gave you a part of my house. I let you have what you could have, the same we had the house. And so they're gone, so I said, praise God. I've done what God told me to do. I said that to say this. Many times the enemy's going to come and they're going to try us. He gonna say, "Oh, Connie ain't no good, Lord. He ain't gonna stand." See, he on that radio station with the rest of them, Teacher Roy and the pastor. They just on there just lying like 900. Look at them.
Yeah.
But you can't see, because we got the Holy Ghost. The devil can't get nothing to take away, because Jesus made a commitment.
Yeah.
That's why I say all the time to everybody, if you really want to see what Jesus said, go to the 17th chapter of St. John, and you'll find it. You'll find word for word, precept for concept. He says, "Father," Yeshua HaMashiach said, "Father, the hour has come that you will glorify me just as it was in the beginning." Glorify him. What are you talking about?
Yes.
He said, "I was there. I've come to the job, the assignment." Hallelujah. I love you, Father. He said, "The work you have given me to do, I've done it. I've come to, it's completed." He said, "But I want to leave and see one thing I said." Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I love you. I love you. And the Bible says these words. And the Hebrews, it said, "Ask. Ask." But Jesus said also, he surrendered to the serious, he surrendered to the Father. He said, "Father, I come there and I ask that you keep them from the evil one."
Yes.
Who is the evil one? The devil. He said, "Don't take them out of the world." Hallelujah.
Uh-huh.
That's why we got a fight to do. That's why we who on this side of the river, we got to fight through. I pray you take not Royal. I pray you not take a Will. I pray you not take Hunter and many others behind the scene, in the scene, through the scene. Don't take them out of work, but that you will, oh, glory to God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And when we go in and read that word, he says, "Father, Holy Father, our Father, my God Almighty." I love, see, and when I get to feasting on the word, sometimes I get caught up.
Oh, yes. I do.
In a place called there. And every time I get to that place, I go to the 17th chapter of St. John. Yes. Because I don't care what everybody says. There is a royal diadem right there.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I didn't mean to take up my time, but I got so carried away. I got so carried away in the Spirit of God. And you know, I have a request of my beloved on the radio and behind the radio. I have a brother-in-law down in Louisiana. He's been suffering with cancer for over 25 years, still living, 68 years old, and we received word that they say they've done all they can do for him. Ain't nothing else they can do. Now, you know what? I love the Lord, and I don't know what God's going to do. I'm not going to try to push God to do nothing. I'm just going to give him back his word. That's all I can do. Am I right about it?
Amen. We pray the word.
And so one thing I take notice in the book of Luke, these words, that there were some examples of criticalness. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace." My God Almighty. And then we got the last day. Here's another example. The blind man was healed. He then touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it done unto you. Each touched by your faith. Another scripture says, blind Bartimaeus was healed. He said, and Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. My God. And then there's one of the scriptures that says healing of the leprosy. And it says here, and he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. So if we can teach more of this, and I did that for a reason, by the grace of God. Our faith is a journey. It's a journey.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a journey.
Yeah.
We and are still cannot be equal.
Yeah.
Amen. It's a journey. But with the Bible tells us in the book of Romans that be ye not equally yoked together with unbelievers. So unbelievers and believers, as we said the other night on the Monday night radio station, what is particular one night that particular person come in with the 111111111 wants to have something about Walmart. Walmart is not our interest. Our interest is to make Walmart dump the place to feed the people. Hallelujah, somebody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And see, when we exercise our faith, here's what we must do. For the body without the spirit is dead.
Yes,
as faith without work is dead also. Dead works. And what I've said to many believers, the more we got to hone in
mm-hmm.
what God has done.
That's
and the more
does.
We can trust God, the more we can believe God, the more we just say, Father, I surrender. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Yeah. Amen.
I surrender. I don't, the nickel I had, I don't have it. It belongs to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All that I have belongs to you. All that I hope to be belongs to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what God is telling me daily in my life. And I said it with love and kindness. Because y'all don't know me, but God knows me, and God knows y'all.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying y'all because I'm a country boy, y'all.
Me too. I say y'all too. I even tried to fix it in my text, y'all, Y-A-L-L.
And sometimes we just take the word of God and we live it. But I just want you to join up with me with prayer for just a moment, please. Will y'all help me in prayer?
Amen. We certainly will.
Father, in the name of Jesus, not so much we desire because we know what your word said in your word. You give us a prime example. Once was dead, but he's alive forevermore. When Jesus stood at the gates and the portals of heaven and said, I am he who was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys to death and hell. And Father, I know in the name of Jesus Christ that everyone that has been afflicted by this disease, sickness, and the spiritual, and the wherewithal, I know you can touch in the name of Jesus. It is by their faith that they are healed. It is by my brother in Louisiana, by faith, he is healed. He is healed. He is healed. My sister-in-law, Effie, in Houston, Effie Phillips, she is healed. By her faith, she is healed. Not only her father, but there's some I don't even know. But I pray for them today, and I believe today. But Father, when I saw this lady down there in tears, had joy in her eyes, as if her eyes were saying to me, God's got me, and I'm Omega. I stopped at Miss down there at 2455, Father, and I thank you. No legs she had, Father. No. But we embraced in the spirit, and I hugged her, and I told her, I said, I love you with the love of Jesus Christ, and I know God's going to restore. God is doing it right now. He's doing it. But it's us. And I just declare and decree, Father, that journey I want to just get out there and do what you said do. Not so much of what I want to do, but I want to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. I want to see blinded eyes open. I want to see the deaf come here. I want to see. I'm not interested in how much money, because I know all that I have belongs to you. I know it, Father. And Father, I pray for every husband. I pray for every wife. I pray for every child. I pray for this nation. I pray you would bring Texas into a fullness of understanding. And then, Father, I pray that this radio station, you have given those who are working behind the scene, in the scene, that the word in them will get sharper and sharper and sharper and sharper and quick and quick and quick with power. May when we speak the words, there will be a thundering over the radio station. There will be a thundering over the radio station, a thundering over the radio station, and the fire of the Holy Ghost will follow it, and they will see that they know. And Father, I just want to say thank you. I just want to say thank you. I just want to say thank you. Not only do we pray, as Sister has brought me into correction, we not only pray for Texas, we pray for the whole world. We pray for those in China. We pray for those in Australia, India, and Russia, and Iran, and Syria, and all around the world, in Alaska. We pray, Father. And I ask you today, in the name of Jesus Christ, our beloved one, that he give us the right to call upon your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then, Father, because we know that we know what we know, we believe what we believe. We know that the power, the authority, in a Gaia, we know the power, we know the anointing that you have given to us. And we ask you tonight in the name of Father, through Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, that you will just hear our petition, hear our prayer. Father, we just know our prayers and petition, we made a petition, but hear our prayer for those that don't know Jesus. Call the pastors to wake up at the churches. Call the fivefold minister to wake up. Call those who know that want to know more. Let them see. Let there be a quickening, a shaking in the earth realm to realize that God is still God. And hallelujah, I want to love you tonight, Father, because you've been so good to me. I thank you. I love you. It's in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, the name of Jesus Christ. My prayer is surrendered at the feet of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. My God, my God. Woo, what a God we serve. What a God we serve. Hallelujah.
Yes. Brother, would you share with us some of the teachings you did on spiritual warfare?
You want me to do it?
I was, he's been teaching in the church.
Pastor Irwin.
Pastor Irwin.
Going back and looking into different scriptures in the Bible, and like when we read about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, but there's some underlying messages within that message that nobody sees.
Okay.
It's like we have to look at all the characters. We look at the characters. We look at Mary and Martha. And we look at Lazarus, who Jesus loved, And then when we look and we see Mary is the one that busted the alabaster box that anointed Jesus, because even Jesus says that he was the resurrection, and then that busting that alabaster box was for his not for his death but for his resurrection. And how many times have we sit there and be in prayer, in ministry, in prayer, and we smell the sweet aroma? We're the only one in the room, and we smell the sweet aroma. That's the Holy Spirit. That's Jesus passing by. And we sit there and we look at all these different parts of the scripture, and we see where even Daniel is in that same thing. And when Jesus tells them that Lazarus is asleep, they thought, well, we'll just go over and knock on the door and wake him up. He says, no, he's dead. And Thomas, his name is Didymus, which means twin. You know, we also know the fact that twins, sometimes they look alike but think differently. And there's the twins who don't look alike, and one can finish the other one sentence. And we sit there and we look at it, and Thomas sits there and he says, well, then let's go die with him. And Jesus says, no, let's go and raise him from the dead. So we have to look at the idea, what's the significance of that particular part of the scripture? And come to an understanding what it is. And then we can continue on, and we can look into that, and we can sit there and see when Jesus says we're going to go back to raise Lazarus from the dead from the town that they were going to, all the disciples sit there and says, hey, wait a minute. Isn't that the same town that they were going to stone us and kill us? Yeah, and you want to go back there? How many times have we had to go back somewhere where we were threatened, either spiritually or in the physical? And yet it was for His glory. It was for the glory of God, for the victory. And we don't see it. We don't see that in the Word. We don't understand it. And then we sit there and we go and continue on, and we sit there and see where they retreated then into Ephraim. And we know that Ephraim was the son of Joseph. But we also know that Joseph married an Arab woman, which we know that also the fact that in the name Ephraim means fruitful and plentiful. So why would Jesus retreat to a city called Fruitful? Because when he went to the city of fruitfulness, we have to look at this in a spiritual aspect. Not in the physical is what the story told, but in the physical aspect, is that the fruitfulness, he went to the city. So he went to, because there in that city, many came to know who Jesus was. That fruitfulness is the same thing that because Ephraim, being a son of Joseph, that the patriarch, Jacob, he blessed Joseph's kids, and he blessed Ephraim, and that they come into the tribe of Israel. Right?
They
were not pure Jews, because their mother was of Arab nation, more of a Gentile. Now you stop and think, who are we that we were grafted in to the kingdom of heaven, who received Jesus, the city of plentiful, the fruitfulness? He came to us. We were that city.
Amen. Oh, Jesus.
We have to look at things.
Amen.
We look at the stories, but we have to look what it is that God had done in the supernatural in order for it to manifest into the natural. We have to understand these things. And I've caught on a lot of different things. I've shared with different things on the radio show of different things. Is when Jesus, after he got done preaching, he says, get into the boat, let's go across to the other side. Everybody sits there and knows when he went across to the other side, that a storm came up, and the disciples sit there and they thought, well, you know, hey, we're all going to die, what's going on? Jesus called the storm to be still. Then when he gets off the boat, what does he see? Two men that nobody could contain, nobody could chain, nobody could do anything with.
Mm.
Now, if you look at this into the spiritual realm and what was going on and what's happening into this story, we stop and look. After Jesus got done talking to the people on the other side, so let's cross the other side. Get in the boat. They cross the other side. They went into a different spiritual realm. He took the disciples with him. He gets out of the boat, and a storm comes up. That was the resistance of the devil because he knew he was crossing over into a different land. He was crossing over into a different season. He was crossing over into a different realm.
Yeah.
He was crossing over into the realm of what was Satan had contained and had hold of on that land that he stepped off the boat, because the two men that Jesus saw that nobody contained, they were the legions. That was Apollo, and I can't think of the other one. Those are the two angels of the devil. They possessed the land. And when they sit there and Jesus was trying to cast them out, they were on their knees and they sit there and says, "Oh, what should you have to do with us, O Son of God, to torment us?" The disciples did not know who Jesus was other than Rabbi.
That's it.
So when he got out, he sat there and he finally asked them, "Who are you?" And he told them. And they said, "Don't kill us. He allow us to go into the pigs, the unclean." And then they sat there and they ran off the cliff and into the sea. They ran off into the abyss. They ran off into that spiritual abyss of the sea.
Michael,
we sit there and look at these stories, but we don't understand the significance of it in the supernatural atmosphere. Because, you know, I'll tell you, in the end, because the people were mad, but yet there was many saved in that city, in that land. He cleansed the land. What the land did he cleanse? He cleansed the land of the Gentiles. He cleansed us. He took that. We took that for authority. See, in the process of all this going on, what he was doing in the supernatural was with the disciples, bringing them across into a different realm, was bringing the church into the land. We don't see that in the story. We don't hear it. We don't listen to it. We don't watch it. We don't understand what it is. All we do, hey, Jesus got in the boat and he killed the storm to be still. He chased a bunch of demons into pigs and they jumped in the water. But you have to look at it in the spiritual realm of what's going on in the spiritual atmosphere as it had to manifest here on earth. And that was all set there and preordained for us.
My God.
For the Gentiles to take the church.
Amen. Hey!
So there's many times, you know, there's many stories. And then, I'm very careful. I don't take a lot of people with me when I'm doing a lot of things because it's we know the spirits that can be attached themselves and they're dangerous. And I don't take people who are not strong. And the Lord lets me know who to take and who not to take when I'm doing spiritual warfare, when we know we're going out and we're coming up against something strong. Because those spirits are real, and they will take you to your grave. They may not be able to kill you, but you could just sit there and wish you were dead, and you would jump in the grave yourself just to get away from the torment. This is a spiritual warfare. And then if you know who you are in Christ and who you know who you are and what you are, you can cast that demon into another swine and let that run off into the abyss.
My God. Preach it, brother. Preach it.
We stand firm in Christ in understanding and knowledge and in wisdom. And without that, we're lost. We're just sheep in the fields eating grass, and we're basically content, and that's where we lost the ground that we stand upon, because we lost the significance of what the what
what the Word of God is and the teachings, and be able to sit there and fortify it and keep it strong. We hear somebody say, well, that's kind of scary. I don't, well, you know, Pastor, if you're going to keep talking like that, I don't think I can come to your church anymore. Well, goodbye. I'm sorry. Because Jesus is going to do that. Don't you think that he's going to sit there like he sat there and told the 10 maidens with the lamps? Didn't he sit there and he would take five and the other five were left behind? Because
yes,
the five were filled with the Spirit and the other were just lollygagging around, just taking their time and saying, hey, you know, it's a nice life and hey, this is fun, and you know, and not getting into the spiritual and the understanding and the knowledge and what God brings us into, that where we need to be for the salvation of a nation. That salvation of a nation is us. That is the salvation of the kingdom of heaven. How many times has God sat there and he said, you deny me, then I'll deny you before my Father? How many times, how many other stories have we seen in the Bible where God has sat there and he said, and in different stories where he's literally tells us that there's those who, Jesus said, he came for many, but all are welcome. All who are receiving. And also in the Bible it says that many will be destroyed.
That's
you have to know or you have to understand. You think that everybody goes go to the heaven because he sits there and he's going to tell some, says, depart from me for I do not know you. You think about it. If you have a weak church, we can sit there and we can, what I'm saying, a weak church, I don't mean a church that's pandering to those who are name saying, going, I really don't know. I don't think we ought to talk like that because that's kind of spooky. We shouldn't talk like that. If we pander to them, who makes us a weak church? But if we can not even in the knowledge of understanding, and we can grow and we can lift that church up and bring it to the fullness of Christ.
Amen. Oh, glory. Oh, glory.
So this is where I stand, and this is where I teach a lot of stuff on. And it, like I said, God gives me revelation into all this stuff that I talk about. You know, I mean, there's times where I sit there and say, God, what am I going to talk about? And even, I just don't know. I just allow the Holy Spirit to move. And like I said, that's the only way I do it. Even when I minister at the church. Last night we were there from 6:30 until 11:30.
Okay.
Amen.
We didn't care. It's none of this, okay, 6:30, okay, praise and worship starts. 6:45, okay, stop, okay, 2 minutes for announcements. Okay, let's get on with the word so we can go home.
Mm-hmm.
We're not a cookie-cutter church. We are real. We get into the word. We get into the depths of the word, and we come up with a spiritual reality in the word and a better understanding, and we're refreshed and a new anointing. And we spend, like I said, on the average of 3.5, 4 hours, 5 hours in the ministry, and we don't even realize what time it is.
Mm.
That's the glory of God. If you're not feeling that in your church, you better be asking why.
That's wonderful. We do that at our church. That is wonderful because we're eager and anxious and hungry to learn about
Amen.
Jesus. But I like the way God has been opening up them revelations to you. See, God deals with each one of us differently, but I love that, the way he has showed you those other.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
There have been so many times in the Word that's been repeated over and over and over and over and over, they lost the reality and the sense of what it is. Because God sits there and tells us many times, it's not of this world, not of this world.
that of this world. Don't worry about this world. He was not just talking about the things of this world. He's talking about everything in this world, the atmosphere of it, and everything else. He says, "Stay with me in the spirit." So if you're walking in the spirit, all this comes, revelation comes to you. If you're not walking in the spirit, then you're looking at the world and you're looking at the worldly things, and then we're sitting there going, "Oh wow, what's going on here?" And we get faint, and we fall, and we trip, and we stumble, and we start agonizing. And yet, if we sit there walking in the spirit, we walk on top of all that. We don't have to sit there and deal with it. God's dealing with that. But as we're walking, we don't realize what we're doing. But as we're walking, we sit there, and the others are following because they say, "Hey, that guy or that woman's got something. What do they got? Let's go check this out." We don't have to do anything but walk in the spirit, and they will see it.
Amen.
The glory of God upon us.
I agree.
Walk in the spirit.
Yes, sir. Glory to God. That's the key, walking in the spirit.
That's right. Yes. Forget about this world. Forget about this world. Forget about the worldly things.
Yes,
he tells
sir.
Over and over and over and over and over, don't worry about the worldly things. Don't put your eyes on the things of this world.
That's what
Keep
it says.
Keep your eye on me. Keep your eye on the spiritual realm. Keep your eye on me, says the Lord. Take your eyes off the world.
Amen, brother. That's the God
Amen.
Of truth. Amen. That's the God's truth.
Amen.
Well, listen, I got a thing going on over here at the church. I got to get ready to close it up there. It looks like they're about ready to leave, so I'm going
okay.
to go.
And the Lord keep you. And we just close it out. Go ahead and close it out, Sister Royal.
Oh, God Almighty, we thank you. You excellent, most high God, Father, in the name of Jesus, we have entered into your throne of joy and love. We thank you for this brother, Lord, and the revelations that you've given all of us in Jesus' name. We pray that we will continue to walk in the Spirit and draw nigh unto you, because your word said, "Draw nigh unto you, and you shall draw nigh unto us." And we ask you to bind any force that would make our footsteps slip in any form, in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Until the Lord bless you next time, we all love each other. Peace be with you. See you on the other side. Amen.
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 Oh,
Amen.
If you get time tomorrow at 9 o'clock, I'll be on the nation praying at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. God bless you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Be blessed.
God bless. Bye-bye.